Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, are there patterns in your life that seem to be self-defeating? Are there also patterns of emotions that gnaw away at you and contribute to feelings of perhaps inadequacy or struggle? Well, we need to tackle those. And there are ways to do it. And there's an opportunity right now interviewing the author of a book called The Dolphin's Dance, A Five-Step Journey into Conscious Awareness. Well, I guess that will help. So to help us out is the author of The Dolphin's Dance, our guest, Micheline Nader. Micheline, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Peter. Excited to be on your show today.
Yes, I'm so glad that we could talk because we all have stories to tell about ourselves and our struggles and how we've tried again and again and again to overcome them, often seeing them repeat themselves and not knowing what to do next because it's annoying. And you help us tackle it from the start, actually, right?
Yes. Actually, the dolphin's dance process goes back to the source of our ailment.
Right, the very source where we had the earliest traumatic experiences.
Yes.
And you know, yeah.
I noticed that very many times, you know, the drama in our life and our relationships or work situations or finance has little to do with the actual situation at hand, but our reaction to it really comes from our very early dramas in life.
And maybe we even set ourselves up for it from those early traumas and keep on repeating, choosing situations in life that will repeat those early traumas, not so much as the trauma was, but in new ways,
right?
Creative ways of being unhappy.
Right. They come packaged differently, but the emotion associated with sometimes is the same.
That's the point, I guess, is that in our early childhood, we had events happen that we responded to. And we're talking about, it could be in the first year or two of our childhood and through 6 or 7 years, because our lives are really mostly formed, our understandings of life are formed in those early years, right?
Yes. There are situations when we were very, very young and we don't remember them. And but the situation here that is the earliest that it happened in childhood where we could remember and we could in our mind make up our mind about what's happening to us and what does it say about ourselves. So this is as far as we could go with the work here.
Well, it's fascinating, and I climbed into it myself to see what I could find, and not that there were any surprises so much as it was a deeper dive than I'm used to into what happened when I was young and how I responded to it and how the patterns have continued in my life representing those earliest experiences. And it was similar to yours, actually, at least in the events, in that I also lost my father.
Yeah.
And I lost him first when I was a year and a half, and he went off to war.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it personally.
Yeah.
I didn't understand, and I have done some primal work on that, and I saw that it was something wrong with me that he had to leave. And children do that. They personalize events.
Right.
And then he actually passed away when I was a teenager. And so I lost him twice in my life.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. And so I'm following through. You have all these processes to go through that are remarkable. I loved putting them in the categories that you have, because you start off with finding the marker, that you call it, which is the marker is the event. And
yes.
So there could be more than one marker. For me, it was similar, two events that created a response in me, which is, you call the sticker.
Right.
And that's what your emotion is about it. And it was fascinating to see that, you know, how I responded to it. And then the vessel, and this is true for everyone, is that it ends up, you feel it in certain part of your body or in some way in your physical body. And for you, was it your stomach?
Yes, for me. It was my stomach for the longest time, and I didn't know what was happening. And I had an ulcer, and then when I started with the process and discovered that that was the emotion that resurges every time, a similar threat to the one that occurred when I lost my father was happening and in that part of my body. But then I was able to heal my ulcer without medication, without any medication. Right now, I don't have that stomach pain, because if it surges, I bring my conscious awareness to it. I identify it, and then within the process, we have the last two steps of the dance that give us really a tool to transform it in the moment. So I use it all the time.
Yes, and it's fascinating to see it at work and to identify it in ourselves, to go through this initial process of finding the event and understanding the emotions that you have about it, and then where that lies in the body. And actually, for me, it wasn't any one place. It was kind of like my nervous system.
Mm-hmm. And it could be that, yes.
Yeah, it feels like it kind of collapses and doesn't support me enough. And so it's more of a whole body kind of thing. And it has to do with our feelings, which are, as you separate emotions and feelings, and I appreciated that. That you kind of label them. The emotions are actually your reaction, and then the feelings are your opinion about the reaction.
Yes, yes. The emotions are physiological in nature. They're somatic. They can be measured by physical factors like your blood flow, your heart, your pulse. This is what gives you your fight or flight response. The feelings are really more your perception. They are more secondary in nature, and they live in your mind. So this is your subjective experience. This is how did you feel about that event? This is what it comes into play. Although a lot of people use them interchangeably, for the purpose of this work, it was very important to isolate that emotion, because the emotion is the energy in motion.
Right,
this is what fuels our reactions.
Right, and that's the emotion is where the body then senses it, whereas our feelings are how we label it.
Yes, and by identifying our emotional logo, or at least the major, the core one, not only we're going to the source, but also it's providing us with a portal, with a port of entry every time we feel it either in our body or we feel that emotion or any event that occurs that is similar. We're able to dive in and access it and transform it.
Right, by understanding where it comes from, the events that created this emotion.
Right.
Right, and then also, that's just the start. Because then we have all these belief systems that we apply to it. And that's really how life, the patterns of life, reveal themselves in actually negative ways, because then we identify this reaction as troublesome, and the experience of the event and what we felt about it, what happened to us. So the feelings for you, how would you describe, I guess the feeling then is the verdict, right?
Yeah. The feeling about it actually is at the source of you formalizing an opinion about yourself, judging yourself. Look, when it happened to me through my losses, my verdict was, oh, I can't make it on my own. So my verdict became, I can't make it. So this is the belief, this is the verdict, this is the negative opinion that we sentenced ourselves following our marker and that feeling, that's the judgment that we are interested in this work. Of course, we have beliefs that we form about everything else in the world, and that comes from our culture, our upbringing, our family, our education. But in this work, we're interested about the beliefs about ourselves. We're interested in those limiting beliefs because, according to the National Science Foundation, we have more than 50,000 thoughts per day. So these thoughts, 95% of these thoughts are repetitive. So,
thoughts are in patterns, repetitive patterns.
Repetitive patterns, exactly. So what happens when we have a thought and it does not agree with our belief system, we just reject it. And if a thought comes and it agrees with our belief system, then we keep it and we act on it. So if these belief systems, these limiting belief systems are in the background, even if we're not aware of them, they're acting in the background. Just imagine how many of these creative thoughts we are putting on aside and we're not acting on it, and they're limiting our full expression in the world.
Yeah, there could be good thoughts that just don't fit our verdict about ourselves, and therefore we don't accept them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think my earliest event at a year and a half is kind of what colored it all, because I felt like that I was unworthy of having a father. I had done something to disappoint him,
yeah.
And he ran off to war, and that then when he died at when I was a teenager, that just confirmed that I wasn't worthy of having a father, and therefore I wasn't worthy.
Exactly what happened to me. It's we have similar stories. I lost him for another country when we had a big bankruptcy and we lost our belongings and I was a child. And then I lost him again for death. And so I had this verdict that I can't make it on my own without him. And so my strategy to survive became that I became the superwoman. So
right. But you still had the gnawing experience in life that reinforced you needing to be the superwoman all the time.
Exactly, because my being of a superwoman did not come out of my nature. It didn't come from my true self. It came from my verdict. It
right.
came as a survival because of my verdict. So right. In a way, although my strategy was a survival strategy that helped me to be successful for a long time in my life, it was a control freak. It controlled my life. It was the power behind things. I had no choice of doing them differently.
Right.
Until one day, as a midlife crisis or, you know, the dark night of the soul for some people, this is where their strategy crashes, and all of a sudden, there will become an opening to see that your strategy is not you. This right. is not your true self. This
right,
is
because you can never do enough.
Exactly.
You know, you like, for instance, I had that I wasn't worthy, so therefore I had my strategy was to figure out how to become worthy enough. And I kept on attracting people, mostly people, who proclaimed my unworthiness in my early life. And it just kept reinforcing how terrible I was, because I wasn't worthy enough to have what mattered, what was important in life, like a father. And so it was hard to be worthy enough. And again, what you were saying, how our minds filter life so that we really are focusing more on what our verdict is. And so I kept on attracting all kinds of people in my life and situations in my life that reinforced my unworthiness. I was married to a woman I was with her for 8 years, and her mantra was that I'm a good for nothing who will never amount to anything. And so I lived with that for her, you know, and obviously that's why that marriage ended. And then since then I've been doing my best to build a responsible life and be worthy. And yet There are all these, in life, there's always attacks to our success and threats to it. And so if we fall back on our verdict, then we're always in fear.
Yes. And the emotional logo is so important because your negative emotion becomes the vibrational anchor to attract similar emotions. So you would be attracting people and situations to confirm that verdict and that emotion, and you will be vibrating at the same vibration, if not even lower and lower, because right. you're not cleansing, you're not clearing the clutter and clearing all this. Instead, you're reinforcing it on a permanent basis.
But it's also very hard work to fight this verdict in life. So my life has been so much about being smart, being successful, being recognized, and you can only do so much. And along the way, we're only human. There are so many people out there who can be judgmental, critical, and even sabotaging. And all of a sudden, all you've done to overcome your verdict isn't doing enough.
Yes. And that's why going back to the source, we disempower that verdict. And in the dolphin's dance, the fourth step of the dance, we cancel the polarity or the negative charge from that verdict. So while being aware of it, we're not fighting it. We're embracing it. And
right.
it doesn't have power over us.
Right.
But
when you have
like
this perspective...
I was tired of fighting it, and despite my affirmation, my meditation, everything, that verdict was pretty strong because the emotions that had been associated with it were very, very strong. So as if I was fighting it, even when I was using positive affirmation, as if I was tricking myself. So I considered myself that stubborn individual that had a hard time with transformation. So that's why I wanted, as an entrepreneur, I wanted something that really works. I wanted to go back to the source, disempower it, and I know that I can't get rid of it, and this is not the intention, but to embrace it in a way where when it shows up, but it's there. It's like a visitor. Hi, how are you? But it doesn't have power over me.
Right. It's the perspective of knowing that it's just our story. And our ego thrives on it, and it's the ego's realm, but not doesn't have to be our eternal spirit's realm, other than that, as you say, when we come into life, we create the space to have a story.
Yeah.
And so the story that we've created is what we're here for. We're here for our story. but to take it more lightly as a project that we can have loving energy about and compassion for ourselves to need to have a story in life, because after all, what, you know, we're just going to have a blank mind all through life? No, we're going to be playing with the difficulties of this world.
Yes, it is very important, as you said, to create stories for our life, for our future, that are aligned with our mission. But as long as our inauthentic story from the past keeps enacting itself, our ego is taking that structure, our identity signature is that structure that our ego takes to express itself in the world, and it's being more assertive. So what's happening, we're constantly coming from that ego place, and we're not coming from a place of a true, authentic self. Because as much as we're transformed, our verdict is not, if we're living from our verdict point of view, we're not living on an authentic life. Because in the dolphin's dance, actually, in the fourth step, canceling the polarity, we go through an exercise where we do, for ourselves, we assess all these stories, and we find out that the verdict is not authentic. Because, Peter, if I tell you today, count how many times you have been worthy in your life, you will fill out pages and pages and pages of a notebook.
Sure.
So coming from a place where I'm not worthy is not an authentic place, because it's, you cannot assert for sure, without a shred of a doubt that you are unworthy. So if you live from a point of view of being unworthy, guess what? It's not authentic. So how would I want to live my life, all my life, and die, and then know that I've lived all my life from an unauthentic point of view?
That's perfect. It's so great to have that perspective. And yet, as you say, you can't totally get rid of the story, but you can hold it in a place that it's not authentic. It's not really the truth, because the truth is that you've beaten it in many ways in life, and yet the holes in the story keep on showing up and saying, no, don't think you're so great.
But it's okay. Hi, guest. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for showing up, but it right. doesn't manage you. It doesn't control you. So once we align ourselves with our true self, and we make a space for our true self, because the way we align ourselves is by removing all this clutter, so then our purpose shows up. In a way, we start attracting experiences that align with our purpose in life, and then our stories, our future mission, everything that we're doing then comes from a place of a love, of a true self, and we align ourselves with higher consciousness without even an effort, without knowing it.
Well, we can even honor this shadow, because it inspires us to live out our purpose.
Yes, yes. Absolutely right. Then the shadow that keeps appearing, we honor it because of the lessons that we learned from it. And also in the dolphin dance process, we go through a step in an exercise where we realize the impact of us living from that place on our lives. And we know, we go to a place of a total forgiveness with ourselves, because this is the healing place. To heal ourselves is also to forgive ourselves. We're a place where there is no judgment, there is where we embrace what came into our life and all these experiences. Because if we did not go through these experiences, maybe we wouldn't have had these lessons to share with the world today.
Right. So not only do we have to forgive ourselves, but we can also honor ourselves.
Yes.
For the
we
journey.
Honor ourselves, and we love ourselves for what we have gone through.
Yeah.
And we honor our child self, and we honor our higher self.
That feels so wonderful. It's terrific to talk with you and go through this process. And it starts off being painful, of course, but then you really understand the purpose of it, and the purpose of it is to really have the life that you've chosen going through all this, through the story, to fulfill some greater mission, which is inspired by the story.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, like your book, inspired by your story.
Yeah, we're able then to live a powerful life. We're able to bring conscious awareness and be awake in our life, and we're able to play. Then it doesn't become that fight. It becomes that playfulness, like the dolphin, and that happiness also. Living and
right.
Experiencing the moment.
You become more the master of it when you're so aware of it.
Yes.
Yes. Now, before the show is over, I want to make sure that everybody knows where to reach you. You have a website, right?
Yes. It is thedolphinsdance.com or michelinenader.com, michelinenader. On the website, people can go and download the workbook for free. They could read about events and that are happening and blogs. And they can purchase the book from the website or from Amazon.com or BarnesNoble.com or BalboaPress.com.
And the book is called The Dolphin's Dance, Discover Your True Self Through a Powerful Five-Step Journey into Conscious Awareness. That's great. Micheline Nader, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's so wonderful to talk with you. And great job. I really loved the book, and it really helped me a great deal.
Thank you, Peter. I really appreciate that. Really appreciate being on your show, and I'm honored that you read the book and it helped you.
Thank you. And I'm looking forward to where you're taking this next.
Thank you, Peter. We're doing workshops. We've started, and some speaking engagements, and all these events will be on my website soon.
That's great. Thank you so much, Micheline.
Thank you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. Or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.